Yesterday, the Senate voted 56-26 to confirm Janet Yellen to lead the Federal Reserve, America's central bank. Current Chairman Ben Bernanke's term expires January 31st. Yellen has been vice chairwoman of the Fed since October 2010. Some just call it the Fed, others call it the Federal Reserve. The formal name is Federal Reserve System. As others look forward to what Yellen's confirmation means, we wanted to pull back to get a better understanding of what the Federal Reserve System is and what the head of it does. Well, Neil Irwin wrote a book on it. He's an economics columnist at The Washington Post, the author of The Alchemists, Three Central Bankers and a World on Fire. He recently wrote an article for The Washington Post titled Nine Questions About the Federal Reserve You Were Too Embarrassed to Ask. Thank you so much for joining us, Neil.
Thanks for having me.
There are at least nine questions I have that I was too embarrassed to ask, so I'm so happy to get a chance to ask you about that. My basic understanding of the Federal Reserve is that it controls the supply of money. It puts money into the economy. It takes money out of the economy. Why does that need controlling?
Well, somebody has to do it is the simple answer. You know, if you look at the $20 bill in your wallet, it says Federal Reserve note at the top. That means it has been essentially made, that piece of paper became money because Ben Bernanke and the Federal Reserve System said so. And that power, it turns out, is a very powerful thing. When you pump more money into the economy, it tends to spur growth. It tends to encourage more economic activity. It also, if it goes too far, can create inflation. It means that each dollar becomes less valuable. So what the Federal Reserve does is essentially turns that dial. Month after month, they try and turn that dial to keep a situation where everybody has a job, the economy is growing, but also there isn't inflation, there isn't a fall in the value of the dollar.
Okay, here's another thing I don't understand. How do you put money into the economy without just giving it away? And how do you take money out of the economy without stealing it from someone?
Very carefully is the answer. In fact, what they do is they have to do it somehow, as you suggest. They do it by buying and selling bonds. So at the Federal Reserve Bank of New York in Lower Manhattan, they have a room that's a trading room. And so when it's time to create money, what they do is they go onto the open market and invite all the biggest banks to sell treasury bonds to them. And so they might buy on a given day a couple billion dollars worth of bonds. When they buy those bonds, what they're doing is they're creating newly created money out of thin air with the click-clack of the computer. And that money is now on the banks, on the books of the banks that sold the bonds. The bonds are owned by the Federal Reserve. And so then when it's time to reduce the money supply, they do the reverse. They go and sell those bonds. They take that money. That money, poof, doesn't exist anymore. And the bonds are back in the private sector. So it's an unusual kind of thing that works through Wall Street to try and get money out into the economy. It doesn't always work as well as one might hope.
And if I understand this correctly, in recent years, because of the recession, the Fed has been putting money into the economy, but now it's tapering off how much money it puts into the economy. That's what's been going on up to now.
Right. So 8 years ago, when Ben Bernanke became chairman of the Federal Reserve, it had an $800 billion balance sheet. That's how much money was on the Fed's books and essentially how much money it had pumped into the U.S. economy. Janet Yellen's inheriting a $4 trillion balance sheet. So that difference, that's $3.2 trillion or so in additional efforts the Fed has taken to pump money into the economy, to create money out of thin air, to try and get money circulating and try and get the economy, the economic recovery on track. The results so far have been pretty mixed. We have an expansion. It's not as strong as I think anybody would like it to be. But yeah, the Fed is now starting to taper those bond purchases. They've been doing $85 billion a month. Now they're going to slow that down to $75 and presumably keep reducing it until they're no longer going on to Wall Street every day and trying to pump more billions of dollars into the financial system.
Neil Irwin, you've written that the chair of the Fed is like a chief executive officer, but the CEO of a very strange company. So what will Janet Yellen's powers be? How does she run this very strange company?
Right. I say that because normally if you think if somebody's a CEO, you know, they can fire a vice president if they don't like the job they're doing. They can choose who reports to them and who they have in charge of different divisions. The Federal Reserve chair doesn't quite have that sort of power. She will actually be the chairman of a committee that has 19 people on it that meets eight times a year to decide what the U.S. monetary policy should be, what they should be doing with interest rates and with their bond buying program. She has to persuade them. Now, she's the leader. They tend to listen to her and defer to her judgment, but she still has a job ahead of her of trying to persuade the people around that table that she has the right course of action. And she doesn't get to fire them if she doesn't like what they're doing, if they disagree. The president appoints the members of the Fed Board of Governors. It's a complicated structure to choose the heads of the 12 reserve banks all around the country. But the short answer is Janet Yellen is the first among equals. She'll be the most powerful voice in the room, but she can't make these decisions unilaterally and can't fire people she disagrees with.
And who in turn does the Fed chair report to? The president appoints that person? Do they have to do what the president wants?
They don't. You know, the whole idea is to have independent central bank, to have a central bank that makes these decisions separate from politics. So it is democratic in the sense that the president chooses the Federal Reserve chair. The Senate has to confirm them. That's what happened yesterday. Janet Yellen was confirmed. But once they're in office, unless they do something very bad and get impeached, there's really not much that the president or the Congress can do to change their minds. So, the idea is that, let's say we get a year from now, the economy's rock and roll and things are going well, and the Fed decides to raise interest rates, suck that money out of the economy, and people are upset. You know, suddenly mortgage rates are rising and more expensive to get a car loan. You know, Congress can call Janet Yellen before them and yell at her and say, why are you making money more expensive? Why are you increasing rates? But her job is to have the courage and have the independence to say, well, this is the right thing for the economy to prevent inflation, so this is what we're doing.
Why is it important for the Federal Reserve to be independent?
Well, you know, what we've seen over history, over the long arc of history, through many hundreds of years, is that when central banks don't have that independence from politics, you can have some very bad results. Most commonly, that means inflation. So we saw that in a more moderate example in the 1970s in the U.S., where you had 10-12% inflation, partly because the central bank was unwilling to really be independent and do the unpopular things that might have caused a recession. In extreme cases, you get Weimar Germany in the early 1920s. You get Zimbabwe in the last decade, where you have hyperinflation. Now, those are extreme examples, but even in the kind of routine inflation, it's really not much fun if your dollar is worth 10% less every year. So people really don't like it when they can't count on the money in their pockets to be a store of value.
How does the Fed regulate banks? I understand that's also part of its responsibility.
It is. So, you know, part of what these 12 reserve banks around the country do is they oversee the banks that are in their district and make sure that they're not taking excessive risks. Now, they haven't always performed this job perfectly. What we saw in the middle 2000s is really bank regulation that wasn't capturing and wasn't addressing some of the risks building in the financial system. But that's an important part of what the Fed does. It's not just about deciding how much money should be in the economy. It's also making sure that the banking system is well regulated, has enough capital, isn't taking irresponsible risks that could damage the entire economy.
How do you ensure that a person with such a great amount of power isn't somehow surreptitiously using it to enrich him or herself?
Well, you know, they do have different checks and balances and oversight. They have an internal inspector general and they get audited by private auditors, that sort of thing. But I think ultimately the real check on the authority of the Federal Reserve is all of us. It's Congress. It's the media. It's the American people asking hard questions about what they do, how they deploy this power. They've been given an awesome power and Congress gave them that power. And I think, you know, the key tools of accountability are all of us in the media and Congress asking them questions and holding their feet to the fire and saying, why did you do this? And explain your thought process. And if it doesn't make sense, ask even harder questions. It's not a perfect process, but that's the kind of accountability you have as we try and maintain this balance between independence. You want them making wise decisions and insulated from politics, but also you want to make sure there's accountability and not, as you say, policymakers kind of making choices to help their own friends.
Neil Irwin, thank you so much. I learned a lot. Neil Irwin, economics columnist at The Washington Post. He's written a recent article called 9 Questions About the Federal Reserve You Were Too Embarrassed to Ask. With Marcy Silliman, I'm Ross Reynolds. It's The Record.